And no offense, but I don't feel like Nebraska has great food either.
Oh, well, I love Nebraska food. We have gravy.
Right, know, sure.
Down home. Runza. You can't beat Runza.
Runza's disgusting.
Like, I always look forward to coming to Nebraska so I can get some Runza.
Do you get a burger from there, or do you get like
Oh, no, you have to get the Runza.
Those things are disgusting.
They're so good.
They are not good.
So they're delicious.
Yeah, they're not good, Brady.
Welcome to The Great Exchange, a podcast about examining the lies that we believe and exchanging them for God's truth. I'm your host, Brady Cohn, and joining me as co-host is Jason Wilson.
Good seeing you, Brady.
You too, Jason. It's been a few weeks since you've been on with me. We had a little break while I had a couple of guest co-hosts.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you guys moved.
Yep.
I spent last night at your house.
Yeah.
Fancy big new house, you know, like new pastors living the big life.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. Moving at this time of year is, it's been an interesting situation with housing prices. And
I know this is a bad time to be.
Well,
it's a good time to be selling a house, but then you have to buy
bad time
one.
To buy. So I don't know. I feel like maybe it breaks even.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it was really good seeing you last night. Good hanging out.
Yes,
so what's on the docket today? What are we talking about?
So we are talking about, should a Christian go to a same-sex wedding?
Man, that's a good question.
Big topic.
Yeah.
So, and something we all have to try to wrestle with and make that decision at some point.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling we're going to have some different thoughts on this, so I'm looking forward to hashing it out.
So, yeah, I knew we were going to talk about this. I would probably say my first reaction would be probably not to go, but your reaction is to go, right?
I actually think that in a lot of cases, I think it's okay to go, and maybe that's the best choice to go. And so I think that there's a strong case made on both sides of this. So I think that... there's not a black and white answer.
Right.
I think that a lot of Christians, their natural first instinct would be absolutely not. And I think we need to take a step back and examine what are our motives, what's going to bear the most fruit, why is it that we have that reaction, and what purpose do we even play by going? We have to examine what are our motives, why do we have this response, what's going to be the most fruitful.
Sure.
And so I think as we look at two different sides of this, I saw a Gospel Coalition article the other day that asked this very same question, and they came down on the side of you should never go.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the case of, and it made some good points, but it made the case of, if you go to the wedding, you are playing a spiritual role in this person's marriage. Like, you are a witness to the covenant, and that is a spiritual, biblical role that you, and so you cannot do that unless it is a wedding and a marriage that God endorses, that gives honor to Him.
That seems strong.
That I do think that, so that is a very strong on that side. And
because you wouldn't say that if you had two friends, let's say, that are a straight couple that are getting married and they're not Christians, you'd still probably go to that.
Absolutely.
And it might be held at a courthouse or at, you know, their friend who got a license to marry people online, and there's nothing about God at all.
Absolutely. And so that's one thing I've always encouraged Christians with that subject, is we have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I were to go to a straight wedding that wasn't honoring to God, then I have to be consistent. And if I were going to say that I'm not going to go to a same-sex wedding because it doesn't honor God, then it means I need to be consistent and not go to a heterosexual wedding. But we don't even think about that before we go to a straight wedding between a man and a woman, whether or not this honors God. Do we ask, like, oh, are they living in sexual sin? And if they're living in sexual sin, I'm not going to go to their wedding.
But wouldn't the issue be differently, though, that if you had, say, a straight couple living together and they're in sin together because, you know, sexually, they're sleeping together, so they're obviously the sexual sin there. But the marriage, wouldn't the marriage then fix that sin?
You know, it does fix the sin of, like, you know, having sex outside of marriage.
It doesn't
make the marriage honoring to God.
Sure.
And there's still, if there's sexual sin, before the marriage. There's probably sexual sin after the marriage. And even though sleeping, you know, obviously sex in itself is not sinful within right. marriage, it's probably still not a marriage that's honoring to the Lord. And sure. so I do think where it breaks down some is that the heterosexual marriage is redeemable. And the same-sex marriage is not redeemable sure. for the heterosexual marriage that has started on the wrong path, maybe has been steeped in sexual sin. Maybe we believe that these two people shouldn't be getting married. I believe that it's redeemable. They can come to know the Lord, and the marriage can become something that's honoring Christ, whereas the same-sex marriage never can. And so that is a difference of what we hope for in the future for these marriages. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I was then wrestling through and contemplating after I read this Gospel Coalition article is, what does the role of a guest play at a wedding? Mm-hmm. Does every guest play a spiritual role in?
No.
No. It's like my wedding had 400 people. It's like we had people that I had never even met before. You know, you invite your crazy Uncle Joe and who's out in the audience at your wedding. Do all of those people play a spiritual role as part of the covenant of my marriage? Absolutely not.
Yeah, but so what about this? I think we were going to talk about this. Let's take a graduation or mm-hmm. a retirement party. Maybe it's not the same, but it wouldn't matter. I mean, you'd go, and what are you doing at those events? You are celebrating that person's accomplishment, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're celebrating their graduation. You're celebrating a lifetime of work, and they're retiring now. So, but if you go to a wedding, aren't you still, as a participant, celebrating the wedding, the marriage?
And I think that there's a case to be made for, some people will say that they can't go to the wedding without it being a celebration. And so mm-hmm. I think that it's more nuanced with that. There's heterosexual weddings that I go to where it is gospel centered. It is honoring to the Lord. And there is a joy mm-hmm. that is present because it is clear that God has brought these two people together, and God is honored in this, and they have a biblical vision for marriage. And there are heterosexual weddings I go to where that joy is not there. It's like, you know that they're already living together. There's this idolatry of one another. They're fighting, they're hoping each other. And I go and I try to celebrate the people and build relationship with them, but there is not the same celebration in my heart having joy over what is being done here. Sure. And so I still go, and most people would not think twice about going to those weddings, but it's lacking the joy that a Christ and the celebration that a Christ-centered wedding has that we've probably experienced at times.
Then what is so let's say you would go to a same-sex wedding. What is just your presence there saying?
I think I would go just for my presence to say that I care about you as people.
Okay.
And so I am invested in you. I care about you as people. And maybe others will misinterpret that. And we can't control how everyone interprets everything. And so maybe they'll be misconstrued and we can't control that. We have to let go of how everything can be, you know, interpreted by different people.
Sure.
I think I would ask the questions like, what's going to be the most fruitful in my relationship with these people? And as I process through that question of what's going to be the most fruitful, and I hear and see, you know, LGBTQ people come to know Christ, some of them after they were married to a same-sex person, I don't think I've ever heard a story of them coming to know Christ that involved, well, this person refused to come to our wedding.
Sure.
Therefore, they had influence in my life and I came to know the Lord. But right. I have heard stories of people who came to know Christ, and I've seen this, who were married to a same-sex person, and the people who had the most influence in their life were someone who was at the wedding. And so it's like, as I look at it practically, what's going to bear the most fruit? Mm-hmm. I think that where I would draw the line, though, is I don't think I would participate in like the wedding party.
Would you bake a cake for them?
You know, I think I might make a cake for them. So I hate where our culture has gone, and I don't think a baker should be forced to make a cake for them.
Right.
I would absolutely stand up for the like, you should not be forced to bake the cake, take the pictures, do anything. And right. so that's a, you know, but as a person, as a friend, if I was a business owner, I don't think that would violate my conscience. Just like I'm for the heterosexual couple who's living in sin. Maybe they've been divorced. Maybe there is an affair. Like, I'm not going to, before I bake them a cake, I'm not going to sure. do an interview to see how holy their relationship is. And so, but I absolutely do not believe that they should be forced to bake the cake.
So would you say that attending a same-sex wedding is on par with if there were a florist who was a Christian and a gay couple came to them and said, hey, could you supply the flowers for our wedding? And they were like, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
You think that you would put those on equal ground?
I would put those on equal ground. And I think that there's grace. And so if a Christian prays through it and uses discernment and says, I just cannot go to this wedding with a clear conscience, I will respect that. Absolutely. Sure. And if the florist and the baker says, I just cannot make this cake with a good conscience, I will respect that. And I don't think that they should be forced to do that. And I think that people should respect that decision.
Because you can see Paul talking a lot about his conscience all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we, conscience is important, and, you know, God gave us conscience. We also have to, and we sometimes use that as an escape mechanism, an excuse of like, well, I can't in good conscience. Paul also talks that we have a seared conscience at times because of sin, and we have an unclean conscience. And so if our conscience, we feel like, is telling us something, it's like we also need to filter that through biblical wisdom. It's like, well, my conscience is wrong sometimes because it's been seared by the world.
Sure.
And so we have to process through what is actually the truth, what is going to be the most fruitful, what is going to have the greatest impact. I think that where I filter some of that conversation is, then, you know, what is the role of a guest?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the role of a guest is at a wedding is to have a spiritual part of the covenant of this marriage. I would distinguish as the wedding party, the groomsmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were a groomsman in my mm-hmm. wedding. I had 11 groomsmen, which is kind of embarrassing. But these were all guys who I loved, who have played a big part of my life in my spiritual development, who have been there for me. And so you guys standing up beside me, you guys are the ones that I believe have a part in my covenant of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would expect you guys to call me out if I'm doing something stupid. A couple times when I was struggling, like with life, I looked at our wedding picture on the wall and these 11 guys standing up there with me. It's like, all right, those guys have my back.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys will hold me accountable. Those guys are guys I can turn to. Not crazy Uncle Joe who showed up right. to the ceremony.
I do feel like, too, another situation with this is being at a wedding as a guest, it can be just you're a part of someone's life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you're walking uh-huh. life with them. Which a marriage is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I do, maybe I'm reversing my decision here, but I do feel like there is a nuance there of, are you celebrating the wedding? Are you celebrating the person? Maybe you're not celebrating either one, but you're just saying, as someone who's in your life, I'm going to be a part of this huge moment in your life.
Yeah.
So I'll be there.
Yeah.
To absolutely. Say just, I love you. And, you know, we're friends. We're in, you know, we're together in this, as we're living life together as
definitely.
A person in my life.
I think that one aspect to keep in mind too, that I've worked through with people tend to see the wedding ceremony as like, this is so horrible that, you know, this is such a, you know, this is so horrible that this is happening and there's going to be no going back now. And I try to give the people perspective. When a same-sex couple has a wedding ceremony, before the ceremony, they were two sinners who needed repentance,
mm-hmm.
and God could bring them to repentance at any time. After the ceremony, they are still two sinners who need repentance, and God could bring them to repentance at any time. The wedding ceremony doesn't change that. I don't want people to take that step. It legally makes it more complicated to have repentance because sure. you have this legal divorce to go through. But it doesn't really change anything. I was talking just a while back with someone who was really contemplating wrestling with go to her cousin's same-sex wedding. And it seemed like just this draconian event for them. And what do we do? And it's like build a relationship with them and proclaim truth so that maybe when their sin fails them, you can be at a place of influence in their life. Yeah. And it doesn't really change anything about the situation. They were sinners who needed repentance before, and the ceremony isn't going to change that. Hmm. And so I think that sometimes we make too big of a deal about that, even though it is a big deal and we mourn it and it's sad. It should bring us to a place of mourning and humility, knowing that these people are so lost and they desperately need a savior. And how do I develop a relationship with them so that I can proclaim hope?
So then you're saying our lead foot should be connection, loving them.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If our conscience permits, then we should go.
Yeah, I believe so in most cases.
But you would also say that if someone goes, a Christian, and their conscience okay with it, it's not that they're sinning or being supportive of the marriage by going either.
Correct.
But they're just loving the individuals.
Yeah. Building connection, building bridges, okay. Building into the relationship. And, you know, the other day I was talking to someone, again, who was making that decision to go to a family member's wedding and really wanted to proclaim truth before the wedding of like someone needs to share the gospel and tell them that this is wrong. And so like, well, and so she was wrestling with maybe I'm that person. Like I feel like maybe I should do this before the wedding. Like someone needs to stop them. And so I asked, what kind of discipleship relationship do you have with this person? Like, mm-hmm. and this was a family member said, oh, well, really none. Like I've never had a deep conversation with her. It's like, well then, why do you think you have the authority to do that? Like, if you want to have an influence over this person's life, invest in their life, develop a discipleship relationship, earn the authority to speak into their life. Don't just think that I'm going to stop the wedding right before the wedding and try to interfere with them taking that step. Spend years of your life developing a relationship with them. Yeah. Otherwise, why do you think you have the authority to speak that truth into
and
their life?
No relational capital.
And no relational capital. And it's like these conversations when we are able to express that, man, I just can't be a part of this wedding, especially if we're asked to be a part of the wedding party, and we just can't do that, or it would violate our conscience. Those conversations go much better if we've built relational capital, if they've seen how much they love us, or we love them, you know? And so those barriers can hopefully be overcome in that awkwardness and that tension of, I can't take my support of them that far. That we can have those conversations when we've built relational capital and we've helped them understand how deeply we love them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good, Brady. You got me thinking now. I'm going to process
so
more.
So I think that we need to examine our motives. We need to be consistent. Part of those motives would be to ask ourselves, is my resistance to go out of just being comfortable? I think I hear from a lot of Christians where they say, oh, I could never possibly go to a same-sex wedding because it would be endorsing it and it would be celebrating it and condoning it. But deep down, it would just make them uncomfortable and they want to avoid being uncomfortable. So I think that we examine our motives. Yeah. What is my reasoning? What is this making me feel about this? What's making me feel inside of this? Am I just avoiding being uncomfortable and avoiding engaging in sinners for my own comfort? And so we have to examine where is our heart in that.
Yeah, that's good.
And what is it revealing in me by even the response that I'm having?
Hmm. So any other thoughts you'd give Christians wrestling with this idea?
I don't
comfortableness
think so.
And then anything else?
Don't just try to be comfortable. Figure out what can build bridges. What will give you the most influence in these people's lives? I think that as family too, I would encourage family who are making this decision to go to a family member same-sex wedding, is invest in both of them. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes family can see their family member, same-sex partner, as kind of the enemy.
Right.
Like, this person has my child living in sin, where they both need Jesus. They're both culpable. Right. And so they both need repentance. And I've seen the partner come to know Christ by the way the family loved their child's partner. And sometimes they were the first ones that came to know Christ. Hmm. And so truly respond with an attitude that's Christ-like, with humility and mourning that these are God's children and God is grieving that they are caught in a life that is dishonoring to him.
So let's say hypothetically though, if you, let's say you're a pastor or you're a person who does weddings and you're not for same-sex marriage,
mm-hmm.
and yet you've got a family member who's in a relationship and you've invested in both of, you know, your relative and their partner, and you love both of them, and that comes time and they say, hey, could you do the wedding? What would you advise somebody to do in that situation?
So in that case, there is no way that I would perform a same-sex wedding ceremony as a pastor. To me, that is then being a part of the covenant, and that is putting your blessing and endorsement.
Okay.
And so that is a area to then use discernment, and I don't think that any, Christ-centered pastor who believes in biblical marriage should perform a same-sex wedding ceremony.
So what would you tell them to do? Just say, basically, gently, lovingly say, hey, I can't do this.
Uh-huh.
But if you guys want to continue to pursue marriage, I would love to be there.
Yeah,
but I can't perform the ceremony. Is that what you would
say?
That's
an awkward conversation. And so I would probably be in a position where I would go to the wedding, but I'm not going to perform it. And that's really the same standards I have for anyone. If I'm asked to do a wedding for a heterosexual couple, I want to get to know them, use some discernment on, do they know the Lord? What trajectory is their relationship on? Not that they're perfect. And I've done weddings for heterosexual couples who have been living in sin, but I feel like their relationship and their relationship with Christ is on the right track. And I can put my stamp of approval and be a part of this and be a part of that process. And that's completely different with a same-sex wedding. There's no way that I would perform one. And I don't think that any biblical pastor should do that.
What would make it even more complicated if it was a dad and it was his daughter?
Yeah, definitely.
Because he wouldn't perform the ceremony, but then what about is giving away? Is he going to give her away? That would also be a challenge.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's complicated.
And those are complicated, and I don't want to ever sound like those are easy situations. And there's going to be hard, hard conversations. And that's where we build enough relational capital to hopefully overcome that awkwardness and those barriers. And at the end of the day, we do what we can to love people. We love them radically. We love them with a gospel-centered hope. And they might not always respond well to that. And We have to be careful, though, and always examine ourselves and make sure that we're loving them with the love of Christ. And sometimes when we're rejected by people because of our faith and our values and those decisions, we can kind of wear it as this honor of like, oh, I'm being rejected because I'm being persecuted. It's like sometimes like, no, you're being rejected because you're being a jerk.
Right.
But sometimes that rejection is like, man, we've done everything we can and we're relying on the Holy Spirit to soften this person's heart. And I'm going to love them. I'm going to serve them. And at the end of the day, if they reject me, I have to give that to the Lord and I can live at peace that I've done everything I can. I'm going to continue to pursue them and love them and lay down my life for them.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You give me a lot to think about today, Brady.
Awesome. Well, hopefully it gives us all a lot to think about. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Great Exchange Podcast. I pray that it helps you examine your own lives and maybe lies that you've believed. And as you engage the world, that we can love people, we can make disciples, and we can hold the biblical convictions. Thank you.